You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Mary Moeller, who is the author of a great book called Growing in Gratitude, Rediscovering the Joy of a Thankful Heart. As we think about the challenges we have in our culture and with so much negativity, this is a great counter to that and a great response to how our hearts ought to be as children of the King. So, Mary, thank you so much for being a part of the Many Voices for that one message.
I'm glad to be with you today, Adam. Thank you.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your own background with joy and gratitude that caused you to want to write this book?
Sure, I'll be glad to do that. My husband is Albert Moeller, who serves as the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I am blessed to direct a program for student wives, so I'm working very closely with those whose husbands are preparing for ministry, and we are preparing those wives for their roles alongside their husbands. And just in the circles in which I travel, related to my husband's position and even just within the local church, it's just somewhat been an issue for me as I realize that there's just this entitlement mentality that tends to creep in, even amongst believers. Hmm. Now, those in the world don't understand true gratitude from the sense with which we draw it in terms of our gratitude to the Lord for who He is and what He's done and all of that. But I also kind of started picking up on the fact that gratitude was kind of being thrown to the side even by believers as the type of mentality of, okay, so we know we read the scriptures, we realize that we're to praise the Lord and be thankful in all circumstances, and we get all of that. So, okay, well, what are you getting concerned about? We'll do better. We'll count our blessings more. We'll write a thank you note every once in a while. Will you be happy now? Let's move on. Don't you know there are really pressing issues out here? And to that, I would push back and say, wait a minute, it's not that simple. This is not about, you know, counting our blessings. This is a big deal. Gratitude is a theological issue. And the presence or the absence of it in the life of a believer is very telling. Because true gratitude is a sense of awe that the Creator of the universe, who is infinite in all of His perfections, has sent His sinless Son to save us. He knows us. He loves us. And so we just need to make that a hallmark of our lives and not relegate it to being something that's just kind of a, oh, yeah, we know we're supposed to do that along with lots of other things. So that's how this started. I didn't really start out to write a book on gratitude. I was actually speaking about it at a women's conference, and there was a publisher there that approached me and said, you know, I think there's a book here. And I kind of pushed back at her at that point and said, well, you know, I only spoke for an hour. I don't see how there's a book on this. But she was right, and we fleshed out an outline. And as always the case in these type of situations, that the author ends up learning a whole lot more than the readers will, because the Lord has stretched me and taught me a lot through His Word about this very important topic.
Mm. That's interesting. I wanted to pick one of the points that you made there is that this is more than just the kind of reframing how to make sure we write thank you notes and stuff like that. I think that a lot of people in the older generation, many of our listeners who are older would say, you know, back in my day, we had more gratitude, we had more thankfulness. But that's not what you're trying to address, is this generational differences, but really the heart of a matter of gratefulness, right?
That's right, and it crosses all lines of ages and stages. So we do talk in the book about how we can really impress this upon children who are, of course, living in a different culture than we were raised, even those of us who are now just grandparents, just because of the way that the culture rolls. So it's just so now common to find a teenager who was this sweet little child and was compliant and was, you know, learning to say with sign language thank you early on, and you know, simple pleasures were pleasing that child, and all of a sudden things change, and because the neighbor kid has an iPhone 10, then that teenager some suddenly has the mentality of, well, he's got one, I deserve all the best life has to offer. And just there's just this entitlement mentality. So we're fighting against that. But we're also just kind of pushing back against the thought that this is something that is not all that important. And that's why I want to dig deeper into really, there's actually two kinds of gratitude that Jonathan Edwards outlined for us way back as a great Puritan pastor. So that gets to the basis of this, that Edwards said that there's a gratitude that's just a natural gratitude for the thankfulness for blessings we receive. And I think we all kind of get that one. That's kind of the count your blessings. attitude, and that's biblical, and we are supposed to count our blessings for specific things. But Edwards makes the claim that there's this gracious gratitude, that's the thankfulness for who God is, for God himself. This is primary, it's deeper, it's relational to the Lord, it's not conditional upon what he has given us. It's all about thanking God for who he is, for his character, for his incomparable love. So this has driven me to appreciate the attributes of God in a whole new way, to where now when I am thankful in my prayers to the Lord, I want to start with who he is. I want to start with his sovereignty, his omniscience, his omnipotence, he's self-created, he's self-sustaining, all these things that he is all the time and I never am. And so I want to be thankful for that, first of all, before I even get to the important gifts like his gift of salvation to me and all the other things that follow. So, again, this becomes a much more complicated issue than just a simple, oh, yes, I'm not thankful enough.
You talk about it being a theological issue, and I think that many people see it in that pragmatic way. They see the need of relationships and even with God, giving thanks to God. But how does it really tie into the understanding of of the gospel and how we live out our lives and live out what Christ has already done for us?
Yeah, it's absolutely essential, because when we trace this back, and that's why it's kind of subtotal, rediscovering the joy of who we are in Christ, because I think that we had this with this type of awe, which is what it is, just an awe that the Lord, before the foundation of the world, chose me, and he's made a way for me to be reconciled to him, and I now have this gift, and my life is now hidden with Christ in God, as we're taught in Colossians, for all eternity and nothing, and no one can ever change that. So this is something that we never get over. This is something that has to be in our mindset and has somehow gotten pushed back because of other issues, to where it's no longer a habit of our lives, that we're supposed to be abounding in gratitude, the scripture teaches. And the Greek scholars tell us that word means spilling over, so that if you bump into us proverbially as Christians, that you bump into us, what should spill out is a sense of gratitude. So when we talk about evangelism, for example, I mean, we can't begin to start sharing Christ with people if we're grumpy complainers that are all self-absorbed in what little things happen to us today. They should know us first and foremost from their first contact with us as people who, you know, they may not get us, they may not understand us, and we're not going around with big, dumb, cheesy smiles on our faces all the time, but we have this sense about us that we have an attitude of gratitude, first of all, towards this God that we know. He's not just some cosmic thing up there. He's a personal God that we know, and then we have gratitude that spills down to the next level in terms of what he's given us, and then that also goes towards others as we show gratitude to people around us just by our daily practices, by how we say please and thank you and are courteous to people. It becomes a cascading effect.
Mm. As we think about how the gospel affects our lives and how we are really living out what we believe, this then gratitude becomes a natural outflow of understanding what Christ has done for us and our gratefulness to him. It becomes that thing that gives us perspective on those around us, and we live out a thankful life. Is that really what you're suggesting, is this interplaying with how the gospel, really an understanding of the gospel, affects our daily lives?
It's true. It's just they're hand in hand. You can't be a joy-filled Christian and not have a heart that is just eternally grateful to the Lord. It's got to be something we discipline ourselves to where every waking thought in the back of our mind relates to the fact that, you know, there is an overflow of gratitude to the Lord for who he is, that he is directing us, that his Holy Spirit is indwelling us. This defines who we are, and it shouldn't be something we have to come back on and say, oh, yeah, gratitude. Explain that to me. It's got to be a part of the warp and woof of who we are.
People say, you know, I get the idea of being grateful, I'm thankful, but it's more than just feeling it and getting the sense of gratitude. It's an action that has to be acted out. Can you tell us a little bit why that's an important component to gratitude?
Yes, it can't be something that's just on paper. It has to be something that we can look at in our lives and even track the progress. And so that's why there are lots of writers who recommend having a blessing journal of some type, where you are actually writing down things for which you are thankful. And I think that's a fine idea. I alluded to one earlier that I have, that's been redone since I started studying this topic, where I have put to the top of the list the attributes of God, and I'm thankful first and foremost for those with that gracious gratitude. But to make it a practice and to be adding to the list, towards the bottom of that list, just the things that we are grateful for, and realize that is not a list that's just set in stone and doesn't change. That there are going to be new things that we add to that as the Lord continues to walk with us day by day. And as we seek to model that for others, we're modeling for our children that we are grateful to the Lord, first of all, but we're grateful to each other. And we show that in multitudes of ways, even though Satan doesn't like that and has thrown many hindrances in. And I spend a great deal of the book talking about, you know, we know this, we get this, why aren't we doing it? And I try to break down some of the reasons why we're actually not doing it.
There are a lot of excuses that people might make as to why they are not making gratitude a priority in their life. Maybe it's their circumstances, maybe it's the oppression around them, or maybe it's the fact that it just slips their mind because they're preoccupied with other things. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the hang-ups that people have in even exploring the essential of gratitude?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Adam. I think I pulled out four that I find to be the biggest hindrances, and your four may be different than mine. These are not meant to be, you know, be-all, end-all. And the first one may be most surprising, and that is, I listed it first because I think it's the hardest one to deal with. And that is, as we rightly understand the gospel, our gratitude is really diminished because we're considering the lostness of our dear friends and loved ones, and we can allow that to actually consume us. And so we counter this by being ever more grateful for God's kindness in saving us as we continue to pray for these lost loved ones and trust that the sovereign God is indeed at work in ways that we cannot see and understand. So even though it seems to be a hindrance that we don't have just a relentless gratitude because we're so filled with joy because we think about, you know, we just can't imagine that these loved ones are rejecting the gospel yet again. We have to trust the Lord, and this can be a real learning opportunity for us as we realize He loves those loved ones even more than we do. His plan is at work in ways that we don't see and understand, and we cannot let that be a hindrance to our gratitude. So I list that as the first one. I think the second hindrance is one that's probably the most common and seems maybe the most innocuous, and this is one that you'll hear a lot from women in particular, and that's just the whole excuse of busyness. We can compare our to-do list with each other, and we can talk about how busy we are doing many times kingdom work, things that are advancing the gospel. But we almost act like we're going to wait till we get in our rocking chairs on our porches sometime in the retirement home, and that's when we'll have time to reflect on all the things that the Lord did for us and is doing for us, sort of in a reminiscing type of way. But Scripture doesn't teach that at all. Scripture is replete with references for us to praise the Lord, to be thankful that this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're to abound in thanksgiving, and there's no delay for busyness. A third obstacle that I would put forth is that sometimes we just allow discontent over circumstances in our lives to not only rob us of joy, but to rob us of gratitude. And we let the mindset get to us that Satan loves to put forth, that if only things were different, if only my life was like her life, then I could be grateful. But God's word is so clear. He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we're to rejoice always. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. And then he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is God's will for us to be thankful, regardless of what our circumstances may be. And then the last one that I put forth is that sometimes doubt and guilt can plague us and can actually hinder our gratitude. Some people have been saved from a life of such darkness and horrible circumstances, and that they just actually have a hard time believing that all that is in the past, and that their debt has been paid in full, and that they have been justified, and that the debt has been paid. And Satan loves this as well, to cause us to doubt. And we lose sight of the truth that we've been bought with a price. But we read in Jude that Christ will present us blameless before His presence of His glory with great joy. So we must not allow the past to impede our gratitude for the present.
We're doing a study through 1 Peter, which is obviously talking about persecution and the suffering that's taking place in the church. And I think that this is one of those areas where when you have all of these negative circumstances surrounding us, they can take a lot of your time and attention and demand because they're so pressing that we often don't take the time for gratitude. What is the counter? How do we make sure that we take the time to meditate on the goodness of God in the midst of really difficult times?
We have to just be intentional about it. We can't let excuses to infiltrate our lives. So just like we must make time to get in the Word every day and to see what the Lord would speak to us through His Word and to spend time in prayer, we must make sure that part of that time is also spent in expressing gratitude to the Lord and just being intentional about it. Whatever it takes for us to get out of this hole, well, I'll do that some way. And as you begin to see fruit come from the gratitude, Adam, it will also be just encouraging, I think, to your listeners to see that, you know, the Lord wants to hear from us. He wants to hear our requests, even though He knows them before we make them. But He also wants to hear our praise from Him. And He's not looking for fancy, flowery words. He's just looking for the sincerity of our heart that, Lord, my first thought when I wake up in the morning is, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made, but you've given me the opportunity today to be used by you, and I'm secure in that, and I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do, and even just to have an attitude of gratitude in simple things, even as you're beginning your day, just the fact that you look outside and you can see and it's clear out there, and you can hear, and just things that we take for granted, and some might think, well, that's just silly. Of course you can see, of course you can hear. Well, you start thinking about the people who can't do either one of those things. And you realize that we're not talking about silliness here. We're talking about realizing and being intentional about praising the Lord for the fact that that didn't just happen, but that He alone has provided the way for us to be able to hear and see and to do what we need to do and have the strength for what we need to do for that day. And He's listening to see if we are grateful or if we're just heading headlong into the day without giving a thought to Him. So it's a discipline that we have to be intentional about.
Now, the title of the book is Growing in Gratitude, which gives the implication that this is not a status that you achieve at some point or a state in which you are living, but something that needs to be worked at, needs to be cultivated, and really it will grow with time, and the more time you put into it, the more you'll see its significance. Is that really what you were implying with this book in this context?
Absolutely. And that you don't arrive at it. You don't ever get to the point, just like you don't get to the point in your Bible study where we've exhausted this passage. There's no more truth to get out of it. We're continually growing. We never scratch the surface. And so it is with gratitude. We're looking for new ways every day to thank the Lord for what He has done for us, and also just for who He is. So just to explore more about His character, and we'll never understand it. We'll never come close to understanding it, but for us to begin to appreciate in new ways who He is and what He's done for us, what He is continuing to do for us, what He promises to do for us in the future, for how He sustains us in big ways and small, we just will grow in this. And as we grow in gratitude, our joy will grow, and it's impossible for you to be complaining and fretting when you are praising God for what He's done. Our minds don't work that way. We can't do both. So it's a choice. And many people who just seem to wallow in this small, the world's getting smaller all the time with all these little concerns and things that aren't going their way, and if they were in charge, things would be X, Y, and Z. I need to just really be honest and step back and think about how grateful are you. And you don't have to look far to see people who are suffering much more than we are, just in terms of physical pain and mental issues and relational issues. And so we just got to do a better job at this and growing at it, and knowing that, you know, our prayer is that next month, next year, we will see a change in how we're thinking, that this is becoming more automatic for us. We're not having to work at it so hard, but we might even surprise ourselves by, you know what, my thought about this situation turned to gratitude. And it didn't used to do that. And the Lord will bless that as he makes that happen in our lives.
You know, the song lyrics, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," come to mind. "Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It does seem that the more you grow in gratitude, the more you understand the implications of the gospel and the beauty of what Christ is doing in your life, and you see these positive things, it really does give you a unique perspective on the negative things that often demand our attention. Would you agree?
I would definitely agree. I mean, you can just pick up a hymnal, and in your devotional time, that's a great thing to do, is to just somewhat like we do when we just pray through the Psalms, to just pray back the words that the Lord has given us through His servants, and in words that we would never come up with that are just so profound. And when we're reading from the Psalms, of course, inspired and infallible and inerrant. And we pray those words back to Him, and it's just it's a foretaste of what we will spend the rest of eternity doing with the Lord, where there will be no more thorns. I even talk in the book a little bit about the counterintuitive way that not only do we praise God for the blessings or for the roses in our lives, but we need to tweak our thinking a bit to praise Him for the thorns as well, because those are there for a reason. We know that Paul asked 3 times for a thorn to be taken away, and it wasn't. So Paul, you know, arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived, learned to thrive with the thorn and had to, he couldn't understand what benefit was coming from it. But we've got to be able to do that as well, not in any kind of weirdo, thank you God that I'm, you know, have this or this disability, you know, in any kind of a superficial way, but to just say, you know, Lord, I didn't ask for this. I don't understand why I have it. But clearly you're not taking it away, and so I'm going to thrive in spite of the thorn. And I talk in the book about 10 different ways we can actually thank God for the thorns, and give some scriptural backup for each one of those that I hope will be helpful to people, because we've all got those thorns. Hopefully our thorn list is much shorter than our blessings list, but we've all got those.
Well, you mentioned before that this was a process that you have grown through, not just in the original aspect of it being a speech that you delivered at a women's conference, but also in sitting down and writing the book, that this has been a development that has been growing in your own heart and your own life. And I always like to ask the authors, because I think that this is probably one of the most crucial points, of how growing in gratitude has changed your perspective on life and ministry and serving in the kingdom of God.
Well, it's changed me, because it's drawn me to a topic that I've never taken the time to really look at this carefully before. So I would have been in that category of, you know, you're right, I need to do a better job of this. I've got a lot to be thankful for. I've never had any major issues in my life. I've been so blessed by the Lord's provision to me. He saved me at an early age. So yes, I'm thankful, but you're right, I need to do a better job at that. To finding out that, like, that's the tip of the iceberg. And so this whole idea of gracious gratitude has been really revolutionary to my own spiritual life, because that is where I start now when I praise God, and I have to realize that it's not about what He's given me. And I give an illustration in the book about the crazy story of only thanking a giver because of the gift, and never getting back to, like, well, did you thank the giver for who he is, or are you only thankful because he gave you this gift? And that's what we do when we just jump to the thank you for the this, and this, and don't praise God for who He is and for His nature. So I have become much more attuned to that. I want to continue to grow in that area as I explore these attributes of God, not just as a topical Bible study for now, but as a way of life for the days that the Lord gives me remaining on this earth, that this is forever my mindset of never getting over the wonder of who He is. And then moving to what He's done, which we also can't conceive, that He has made a way for us to be reconciled to Him. None of our works would come close to ever even making the tiniest difference. But instead, He's provided a way that's the only way for us to be reconciled, as He is both just and the justifier. And so how do we not overflow with gratitude? And even in the most dismal circumstances, as we look at this, you know, post-Christian culture in which we live, where we just can barely keep track with what's happening in terms of people turning away from the Lord and turning away from His Word. But we know better. We have this infallible Word, and we have this holy God who loves us. So that's how it's changed me, and I've been very encouraged by when I've spoken on this, and when people who have read the book have already come back and said, you know, I've never thought of it in this way. And so that was the aim, to hopefully get people to think about gratitude in a way that they maybe have not thought of it before, and to God be the glory for that.
We just spent the entire year last year talking about worship, and one of the things that kind of rose to the surface is how our posture of worship coming before God changes us and affects us in other aspects of our lives. And I think that's right in tune with this understanding of gratitude, because what you're talking about here is really an act of worship, giving God glory and gratitude for all that He has done in our lives. And that does affect us. So I guess my last question for you is to understand all of these things, what is your hope for your readers and our listeners that they will understand in this greater picture of gratitude of how it can affect their lives and their worship?
Well, my hope would be that we would just grow in gratitude, that we would you know, affirm and just embrace what we're commanded to do in Scripture, that we've received Jesus Christ, Lord. We're to walk in Him. We're to be rooted and built up and established in the faith as we were taught, and we're to abound with thanksgiving, that we see this as a biblical mandate, not as a, hey, let's all buck up and do better here, but let's make this a way of life. Let's rediscover the joy that we first had of a thankful heart when we first came to faith in Christ and this was all new. And we've kind of gotten, there's the danger of just getting used to the fact that this is life from now on, and we just need to be radically changed every day as we preach the gospel to ourselves and realize, yes, this is an act of worship. Yes, I can never adequately use my words to express gratitude to the Lord for what He's done, but I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to do so to the best of my ability and to teach, to model that and then to teach others. It's so important, Adam, for this to be shown to our children, and so for the parents that are out there that are given the responsibility to do so many things and to teach their children to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, not to be little rule keepers, but to do it because it's all about the gospel. That they also see us not only talking about gratitude, but modeling it as we praise the Lord in our prayers, but as we show gratitude to our husbands in our family time, and as our children are with us, they see us thanking them and listening to them with a spirit of gratitude for their helping around the house. And so, it cascades down to so many different levels. But this is an important topic, and it's one that I pray will just get some people back into the Word, looking more deeply into this, even as they pray the Psalms in a new way, and they just start thinking about the fact that this isn't just about saying thank you. This isn't just about something on your to-do list where you can say, oh, that's right, I need to work on being more thankful. But this is an attitude of the heart that's just pervasive and characterizes us, so that when you bump into us as believers, you say, those are thankful people. And the Lord will be glorified in that.
A sacrifice of thanksgiving, that's what the Lord requires of us. And we've been talking with Mary Moeller. She is the author of Growing in Gratitude, Rediscovering the Joy of a Thankful Heart. It's been a great privilege to talk with you. Thank you. I'm gracious in gratitude towards you for writing this book, but also for sharing us a little bit more what it means to truly give thanks and to rediscover the joy of our salvation.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.